Hello everyone, and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek Tartarian, pastor of St. Sarkis Church, and I'm happy to share with you my first podcast from St. Sarkis Church. I would like to talk about this project a little bit. This is an experimental project. You know that for the past years, St. Sarkis Church has always been a trailblazer because we have introduced fresh ideas and implemented new projects with one objective of having a vibrant parish where everyone can relate to and be proud to be part of. So this summer, I was thinking why we don't have a podcast, because I know that podcasts have been out there for a long time and they are great tools of communications. So I made a proposal to the Board of Trustees of St. Sarkis Church, and I have to say that the Board of Trustees not only accepted my proposal, but they also funded and facilitated the purchase of the equipments that are necessary to start producing podcasts. So I would like to thank the Board of Trustees of St. Sarkis Church for helping me to start this exciting project. I also would like to thank Mr. Greg Dostur, who was very helpful in picking the equipment necessary and also helping me and training me to start using the equipment so that I can produce the podcast. So the podcast will be a weekly show where we will have discussions, interviews, Bible reflections, and we will play a hymn right before the end of the show. I hope that we will have listeners engaging through social media, and if you have questions, we'll try to answer your questions, and we will also take prayer requests. Now, before proceeding any further, I would like to talk a little bit about myself. For those who don't know me, as I said, my name is Father Narek Tartarian, and I have been a priest for almost 10 years now in the Armenian Church. As a matter of fact, on October 17, I am celebrating my 10th anniversary of the ordination. I am a graduate of the Armenian Theological Seminary in Antalyas. I also have a graduate degree in pastoral theology, and currently I'm studying mental health counseling at St. John's University, and I'm hoping to graduate in December of this year. I am married to my beautiful wife, Ani, and I'm the proud father of my children, Hofsep and Lori. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. There is an expression out there which we hear at this time of the year, something that goes like this: I cannot believe summer is over. And whenever I hear somebody saying that, I say, just try to believe. Because as a matter of fact, summer is over. And when we parents, when we say, I can't believe summer is over, I think actually internally we are celebrating that summer is over and the kids are going back to school. That was initially my feeling this past Tuesday morning when I dropped my kids at the school. But I have to say that I had a little separation anxiety when I dropped my kids, knowing that they're going to their school, their favorite place. But as a parent, I felt that. Now, when I speak about the end of summer and we speak the fact that schools are open, I am thinking about all the kids who are attending college, and especially those who are attending college for the first time. Some of them went 2 weeks ago, some of them went last week, and there are kids who are just going and this is their first week. So I would like to address you guys who are in college. I would like to address you specifically. and wish you a very successful academic year. For those who are attending college for the first time, I would like to encourage you and tell you that this could be a life-changing experience for you. This could be a defining moment in your life because you're actually opening yourself for all kinds of new information. You're at a stage in your life where you will make life-changing decisions that will affect you forever. You will see things, you will hear things that you might not have heard before, might not have seen before, might not have experienced before, but try to maintain your faith. This is the time where everything that you have learned will come into practice. You will need to practice virtue ethics. You will need to be prudent and discern what is right and what is wrong. I pray that God will give you the wisdom to make the correct decisions so that not only you will not regret any decisions that you have made, but also you will make your parents and your parish members proud of your achievements. Today we have a very exciting show for you. Actually, we will be listening to an interview which I had with His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan, our prelate. But before we get to the interview, let's first go to the scripture and hear the word of God. Today we will be reading from James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. This is actually one of the daily readings from Thursday, September 4 of 2014, according to the lectionary of the Armenian Church. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. I like the way that this paragraph ends. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Apostle James is exhorting the listeners to be patient, something that nowadays is not easy to have. We belong to a society that is impatient. We want everything here and we want everything now. But we know in life that that is not always the case. There are things that we have to wait for. And sometimes when we wait, we start to treasure and understand the real value of the thing that we are waiting for. I don't know what you are waiting for today. I don't know what God has promised to give you today. But whatever it is that you are waiting for, just hang in there. Just pray for the Lord. Pray that the suffering that you might be experiencing today will turn into joy. And God, who is full of compassion and mercy, will bless you and yours. Today we are airing our first podcast. And what would be a better way to launch this project if not by getting the blessings of His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan, Prelate of the Eastern United States, and share his wisdom with our listeners. Sarpazan Hayr, Astvaz Oknagan, and welcome to St. Sarkis Church.
Astvaz Bahaban, Hari Desang.
Thank you for this opportunity, Sarpazan. My first question is this. You have been elected for a new term as prelate to lead our church and communities. Your election was almost unanimous. What does this re-election mean to you?
First of all, I want to thank the delegates who voted to extend my position for the fifth time for the next 4 years. For me, re-election is not just some time of casting votes or expressing their confidence and trust. For me, the position of the prelate is not a privilege, it's a responsibility. And the first responsibility for me is to give my heart to our Lord and serve Him. I have to serve my church as I did for my 48 years as a clergyman, obey to His commandments, and firmly hold Christian principles and values. Secondly, as an Armenian priest serving God in the Armenian church, definitely I have to hold all the cultural and spiritual values of the Armenian nation, be proud with her witness, and also try to hold firmly all the spiritual, cultural, and national values which we had throughout centuries. We are a nation of witness. We are a nation of martyrs. We are proud of our nation.
I think that our nation is proud to have a leader like you, because you as a clergyman, Sarpazan Hayr, are an inspiration for so many of us. That being said, I imagine that as a leader of the Eastern United States, you must be facing challenges, because life is full of challenges. We also know that almost with every challenge, there lies also opportunities. Would you like to discuss with our listeners about some of the challenges that our communities and Your Eminence as our leader face? And what are the opportunities that we should be focusing on?
Each decade has a different challenge because we are living in a time with changes continuously. Changes in time, there are needs which are changed, and above all, our generation is changing. It is a well-known statement which says that the people are the church, or vice versa, the church is the people. So if this is true, it is important then to talk to each other, to talk to our parishioners, especially to talk to our new generation, because they are the sign of the change. In this sense, I think that when we are keeping silence, silence in this case has no value. We are living in a new time where we see technology is running very, very fast. We have the challenge of secularism in this world. We have the individualism, especially in our young generation, and also family structure, which is changing. So all these are challenges for us, and we cannot ignore them. We have to face them and find solution for them. Definitely, there is no one clear or solid solution for these ones, but we have to face the challenges. And the church is alive when she is active. In this sense, I think that it is our obligation to face these challenges and render our service to our parishioners of all ages, age groups, adults, youngsters, and kids.
Thank you, Sir Pazan Hayr. You have served the Armenian church in different places and in different capacities for almost 50 years now. Your services to our church has been a major factor to make you the person who you are today. I believe that as a clergyman, you've had your moments of struggle and your moments of joy. Can you share with us what has been the biggest challenge that you have ever faced and what has been your greatest joy?
I am always optimist. My joy is, first of all, to serve our Lord and to love Him, as Jesus says, with all my heart and soul. I know that I am facing, as a clergyman, different challenges and difficulties. But the only cure for me is the hope that we together can solve these problems and the faith that we are going to succeed in our endeavor. We must find ways and solutions for all these kinds of difficulties. Situations and conditions did not make me a priest. My faith, my church, and my people, they made me a priest. When someone is optimist, he can face all kinds of difficulties. We need sometimes comfort, and the best way is to pray. During our happy times, and especially when we are in need and difficulties. Because the strength that I get is from my Lord and through my prayer. Because the prayer is the bridge that makes me to reach to God. And I believe that in my daily life, sometimes He can interfere and change me being a better clergyman. And I ask everybody to pray every time. The greatest challenge is to fulfill our need. I learned this particularly when during the Desert Storm War, I was the bishop of the Gulf. Kuwait was occupied, I was there, and our people were in fear and uncertainties. I was the only bishop there, the clergyman, and I had to take care of my people, not only Armenians, and also all the Christians who were just looking at me. And I am proud and somehow satisfied that I faced all these challenges. I gave them all kind of material needs, and above all, I strengthened them with spiritual feelings, giving them hope, and staying strong to face the future. Yes, I provided them with provision, food, and security. And I remember these days when every time we were in our church, we were really praying in the real sense of the word. Because during that uncertainty, we need God to be with us. My greatest joy, it's easy to be God's servant and church and serve our church. This is my joy.
Fascinating. Not only you lay out the theory, but you also are explaining to our listeners that your joy, your life of prayer, have worked for you in the most difficult days when you were a pastor of a community that was in war. And it's no wonder that so many people who come from the Gulf area, they have fond memories of days of your leadership. And those qualities of optimism and life of prayer, it is something that every clergy and every Christian person should have in their lives. Now, when we talk about clergy, Sir Fasenheit, I would like to remind our listeners that you, as our prelate, have invested time and energy in recruiting and training candidates for priesthood. Due to your efforts, funds were established to finance programs for clergy recruitment and education. Today, many of our parishes have new generation of clergy. How do you evaluate this investment, Sir Fasenheit?
I like your statement that young priests, because our people in this country in the past, they knew only white-bearded priests. Any organization must have capable and efficient leadership. Without that leadership, healthy leadership and visionary people, and in this case, in our case, Armenian Church's case, visionary clergy, we cannot have a good parish or community. Because in American situation, especially in Eastern prelacy, we are dispersed communities. And the priest in a given city or town is like a prelate. He is the leader. He has to lead the community in all kinds of needs, spiritual needs, sacramental needs, and also as a community which must face the future as the heir of the Armenian nation and Armenian church. And for this one, I paid a lot of attention to prepare this leadership, which is the clergy in our case. First of all, it's not an easy task because we start with recruiting people. And personally, several times when I was in Antilias, I tried to find the best students in our seminary who are not embracing the celibate priesthood to come and join our prelacy. So once I recruited these people, then I started giving them proper education and training. Yes, it is not easy, as I said, because you cannot make a man. The man in Armenian church should be born a clergyman. The other things, training, education, are pluses in his life. For this one, definitely, we need financial aids. And from the beginning, as a bishop of this prelacy, I started founding funds for the clergy. Every time we had some anniversary, the income I tried to put in this fund, because without a good and well-educated, devoted, and having the spirit serving God and our people, we cannot lead our church. So far, to my judgment, the results are encouraging. Again, in our prelacy, we have the opportunity to have at least 3 times a year to gather our priests, our clergy, and discuss matters which are relating to our daily life. This is encouraging, and I am happy that in the future, as it was in the past last years, we had new ideas, we had new solutions how we can serve our church in our respective parishes. So this is a good sign, and we have to work in order to prepare our leadership as good, educated, and devoted people.
I consider myself one of the people who were recruited and trained and was installed as a priest in one of the parishes of the Eastern Prelacy. And I am a witness of the treatment that I, as a priest, received from Your Eminence. The sense of the empowerment that You give to us from the first day, it's not only built on making us feel good, but also You encourage us to continue our education and to be responsible for the parishes that have been entrusted to us. So, Serpas, on behalf of all the clergy who have been recruited and trained in the past decades, I would like to thank You for the fatherly care that You give to us. I would like to go to a different place now, and my question is about a task that is so dear to your heart. Your Eminence and Archbishop Zare of blessed memory took upon yourselves the ambitious task of translating the Holy Bible. You published the New Testament and the Book of Psalms. How has this task affected you? Can you give us an update about the current status of this project?
It is very interesting because this is my life after my higher education. In 1979, when I returned to Antilias, I found my best friend from my childhood, from 1960, Archbishop Zare, there. And it is interesting that from the first week, while we were talking about our future plans, we concentrated on the translation of the Bible. Because without reading the Bible, without having Bible as the book of our families, I cannot imagine any family who can grow in Christian faith and spirit. So in 1979 and 80, early 80s, we started working on the translation. But I'm obliged to say something about my best friend, Archbishop Zare. He was a saintly man. He was, in full and true sense, man of God. Besides, he was a multi-talented person. Just I can give the list which I found in him as a talented person. He was one of the best theologians. He was a biblical scholar in full sense of the word. He was a linguist. He was a musician. He was a person who knew very well our Armenian historiography. He was a talented person in one word. So we started translating the Bible for modern Armenian. And we chose not the literary translation, rather dynamic equivalence, which means a translation which will be easily understood by an average reader, and it should be admitted and received by the intellectuals. Definitely, some people will not agree to that kind of translation, but this is the need of our people. Because if we want that the average person in his or her family to read the Bible, it should be in this way in order to be understood immediately. So with the help of the Bible Society, and in this case with Reverend Dr. Manuel Jimbashian, we started our work. It is not an easy task, but we succeeded, at least initially. We translated the New Testament and the Psalms, and we published it. The Eastern Armenian dialect also benefited from our translation because we rendered our translation into Eastern Armenian. And now in Armenia, our translation is one of the most read New Testament and Psalms, and I'm sure that it is now printed more than 20 editions. Unfortunately, Archbishop Zare did not have long life to be with me and to continue our work. He left me and this world in his youth. He was only 55 years old, during the time when he was ready to give all his knowledge to the Armenian church, but unfortunately, he left us. I cannot say these words very easily. It's very emotional for me because I lost my best friend, a friend with whom, from my childhood, I spent all my life. However, the challenge of translating the Bible and the task which I started with him and with the encouragement of his spirit, I started continuing this work. I tried to form a group, and now finally, I'm working with Archbishop Hajak Hagopian, who is translating with me the Old Testament, some of the books, and together with Dr. Jimbashian, we are trying to bring it to a final shape. You must know that it is not easy. Time-wise, it's not easy. As a prelate, I have my job, and I have to fulfill my service. Definitely, the work is slowing down, but it does not mean that I have to stop it. Archbishop Zare always tells me, continue it. And I am continuing it, hopefully, that in few years, we'll be translating also the whole Old Testament and ready for publishing.
We hope that day will be soon, because you have given our people the tool that they need for their faith, giving them a clear translation of the Holy Bible. It's something that everybody should be grateful. So it's easy to see that how you, as a man of the Armenian church, a clergyman serving the Armenian church, for you, educating people has been a priority. As a kid studying in the Armenian school in Kesap myself, I used to like my textbook of religion. Later, I found out that, Sarpazan, you had prepared those textbooks single-handedly. Years later, as a seminarian, I also discovered that your remnant was deeply involved in the preparation of 5 volumes of Armenian hymns, the Sharagans, in collaboration, again, with your best friend, Archbishop Zare. 2 different projects had a similar goal, preserving the Armenian church. With religious textbooks, countless young souls would learn about their faith and their church, while with the volumes of the Armenian hymns, you preserve the integrity of the Armenian church music. Eremenis, could you tell us a little bit more about these monumental works?
I think that I am going to answer to your second question first.
Sure.
Because it is related, again, with my best friend, Archbishop Zare. Again, in 1979, when I returned to Antilias after being absent from there for about more than 10 years, while listening to the singing, I found that the tradition which we knew from our bishops or priests who taught us how to sing, the tradition was changing. There were no European notation for our whole hymnal, because in our case, most of the tradition, Silesian tradition, was given to us or was transmitted to us orally. But after 10 years of absence, when you see that the Sharagan that you knew Now it's not sung in the same way. So this is why, again, I sat with Archbishop Zare, who, as I said, was a musician. We thought that how we can save these sharagans. And I remember the first thing that we did, we started listing how many volumes we are going to print. It came out to be 16 volumes in order to have the whole hymnal put in European notation. And we started our work. With him, we published 4 volumes, but unfortunately, after his death, for a while, I stopped because I had other obligations. Again, his face and sound in me told me that I have to continue that one. And now, just alone, I am putting into European notation our hymnals. And amazingly, I am proceeding very fast. The last 3 years, I prepared and published 4 volumes. The 4th one is going to be published in November, which I am dedicating to the memory of our friend, Archbishop Zare, for the 10th year of his depart. So I think that it is proceeding properly because despite being alone, I think Archbishop Zare is inspiring me, just as I said, being and having him in my heart.
Very good. Would you like to comment?
Now the first question.
Yes.
The textbooks. It's interesting. In 1970, I was sent to Syria, Aleppo, to be a teacher of literature and religion. I taught Armenian literature in Karaniepe Secondary School and religion in Sahagyan Elementary School. Unfortunately, in 1971, the Syrian government, the Minister of Education, decided to stop teaching Armenian language and history in the Armenian schools. They said you can teach only religion. It's interesting because they respected religion. But our leadership were very wise. They went to the ministry and they explained that the language of our rite, church rite, is Armenian. How we are going to sing, pray, and understand, especially the kids, when they don't know the language? Right. Amazingly, the ministry understood our proposition and they gave us permission to prepare. There were conditions, 2 conditions. To prepare, first of all, new textbook for religion, and in 1 year, we had to prepare all the textbooks. Enormous job. I don't imagine that somebody can do that. Even when I am thinking back now what you said about the textbooks, how I finished all these 10 books in 1 year. It was an enormous and huge, huge job. Fortunately, with the prelate at that time, Archbishop Datev Sarkisyan, we started working very, very hard. By the way, at that time, I was teaching 32 hours classes
a week,
weekly, in Cemaran, Karaniepe, and Sargyan School. All the nights, I was devoting my time for these textbooks. And one day, I remember, I worked 25 hours a day in order to make the book ready to send it to the Minister of Education for approval. And because it was forbidden to teach Armenian history, again, we convinced somehow the minister that after each lesson, we'll have something for reading. And we started putting there parts from our Armenian history, starting from conversion to Christianity, Sahak Mesrop, Vartanang, and other stories from our kingdoms and history. Now, it was a marathon race, I remember. 10 volumes in 1 year. I cannot imagine, you know, how I did it, but definitely I was younger at that time, full of energy. As I said, just imagine weekly teaching 32 hours and working on this textbook and project. Without knowing these conditions, other countries in the Middle East, they started using our books.
That is amazing. And despite the haste that was involved in the process of preparing those textbooks, it has been an inspiration for myself and a lot of my cohorts. And now, since we are speaking about inspiration, Sarpaz Anhayr, who is your favorite saint and why?
Definitely, all saints are inspiring persons. And in way, one way or another, we pray to God to have their intercession, listen from our Lord, because we know that all these persons, as I said, one way or another, they inspired us through their saintly life, through their martyrdom, and through their faith. My saint is Mesrop Mashdots, Saint Mesrop Mashdots. Why? Because being a person, a man of God, he was also a man of vision. I go back now to the era of our history when our nation and homeland were in a very dire situation. We had no kingdom, our principalities were against each other, and we had no future. One person, a very humble person, Mesrop Mashdots, had the vision to save this nation. He did not gather an army to fight, but he invented the Armenian alphabet. In this sense, he is a national savior. As God is our spiritual savior, he was the national savior of the Armenian nation. So the work that after 1600 years now, we see as a work which saved the Armenian nation, gave them, first of all, a written language, literature. And through our language, our literature, our cultural richness, we survived. And I'm sure if we stay faithful to these cultural values as nation, we will survive. Secondly, he was a person who knew that any task or work must have continuity. He prepared 60 students. Maybe this is one of the reasons I worked on our priests.
Right.
Because somebody has to continue the work. He prepared 60 students, gave them the best education of the time, both in Hebrew, in Syriac, and in Greek. And they translated our Bible, which is called Queen of the Translations. So this is important for us to know that a saint must have also an inspiring spirit, which does not remain in himself only, but it goes to our generations, coming generations. That's one important thing. The second one is that he prepared his students and he made us Armenians as true Christians. The historian of that time, when after translation of the Bible, describes it as saying, God started speaking Armenian.
Exactly. Sarpaz Anhayr, on behalf of our listeners, I am grateful to you that you agreed to stop by today to answer my questions and also to share your wisdom with our listeners. I am sure that through this interview, a lot of our parishioners and our listeners will get to know things about you that they have never learned before. I am grateful that you shared your wisdom with us. Could you also offer us your blessings so that this show, which is the first episode of today, will kickstart and be a blessing in the lives of our listeners, and may God be with them.
Thank you, dear Hayr. First, I want to express my appreciation for your thought and commend sincerely your work.
Thank you.
And now, especially when you start this project, which you call it podcast.
It is a podcast. Yes, it's a podcast.
Podcast. So I hope that you will continue this work, because all the listeners will appreciate through your conversation with a person, through his thoughts, knowledge, and also information. And finally, I want to ask our Lord that he may lead you in his path and shed his grace and blessings upon our listeners. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Today, we're going to hear Arabot Luso, which literally means Morning of Light, a hymn that has been recorded in 2005 by Vem Records in Armenia. Vem has recorded a high-quality CD of Armenian Sharagans, and Arabot Luso happens to be one of them. Now, Arabot Luso is a hymn that was written by Saint Nerses the Gracious, Saint Nerses Shnorhali, from the 12th century, a theologian, a writer, a saint from the Cilician period. This is a hymn that we sing every Sunday in our church. As a matter of fact, it is one of the first sharagans, one of the first hymns that we start our service with. And I picked this one today on my first podcast, so that praying with the words of Saint Nerses Shnorhali, that the morning of light, a term that he uses to describe our Lord Jesus Christ, will give us the wisdom to start this ministry. I hope that you enjoyed my first podcast. Now, if you liked it, please share it. I would love to hear your feedback. I would like to know, what do you think? I am open for criticism and also for suggestions. Help me to make the podcast a better place. I will be back next week with another episode of the podcast. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. This is Father Narek Terterian, and now enjoy Arabot Luso. Oh.